I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Cecile Lipworth. She is with V-Day, and we're here to talk about 1 Billion Rising, which is happening this Friday, Valentine's Day, and Lynn Sanchez, who is Program Director of the Anti-Human Trafficking Initiative at Lifelink. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. It's great to be on the show again.
Great to have you.
Thank you for having us.
So, what is 1 Billion Rising, Cecile?
Well, thanks for asking that. 1 Billion Rising is a campaign that has grown out of V-Day from last year, which was our 15th anniversary. We were looking what to do to celebrate 15 years of activism and success and power in the world for women and empowerment. And we realized that the 1 in 3 statistic that the United Nations has, which is 1 in 3 women on the planet will be raped or beaten in her lifetime, equals a total amount of 1 billion women on the planet. And so we put out a global call to action to invite the world to rise up and dance and strike and bring to the forefront and bring to the global discussion the issue of how many women on the planet will be raped or abused.
Why is dance such an important part of this?
That is such a great question, and it's one that's been asked. And I think what we've found, and since 2013, the emails and videos we've received from people telling us that dance was such an important part of their action, we really realize that when women are violated, they very often leave their bodies. They don't actually feel their bodies anymore. They're separate from their bodies. And when you dance, there's no way to be separate. And so for us, it was really bringing together the speaking out piece of it, but in a creative dance form. And so by dancing, there were two sort of reasons. Dance really having people in their bodies, finding their voices, and then also 1 billion people dancing would really shake the planet into awareness.
I love the metaphor or the image of 1 billion women actually affecting the kind of like tectonic plates of the planet.
Well, we really believe it happened. I mean, there were activists in 207 countries last year. We're already at 189 countries this year.
I didn't know there were 189 countries.
So believe it or not, the United Nations actually only recognizes 196 countries, but then there's islands and principalities, so there really are about 200 and something, just over 210 countries or territories.
So what is actually happening this Friday?
So we have taken it into a much deeper level this year. Last year was really the awareness, shaking the planet, getting people to understand the concept that violence is really a symptom of so much intersectional issues like poverty and racism, economic disparity. And so this year we've asked people to join us to rise for justice outside places where they are demand justice. So for us in New Mexico and Santa Fe, we're having the legislative session is on right now. We want the legislators to make sure that the laws that they are passing in the House and the Senate have take into account the justice the women want in the state for the issues of sex trafficking, sex slavery, domestic abuse, justice in the court systems. And really, we're inviting the city of Santa Fe, the women and the men who love them, to join us at 12 o'clock for our flash mob, which we did last year.
At the Roundhouse.
At the Roundhouse, where 1,500 people showed up. It was one of the biggest events the Roundhouse has told us they've ever seen outside the Roundhouse.
And everybody learned a little dance?
Exactly. We learned a beautiful dance that was choreographed by Debbie Allen and a song called Break the Chain. And we'll be doing that again, and this year we're actually doing it in Spanish as well. Mexico City got an amazing singer, Manuela Torres, to record it in Spanish.
So we're Rompe la cadena?
Yes, and so we're going to do it in Spanish this year as well.
Excellent.
And we've also got, I do want to mention, we do have from 10:30 to 11:30, we're inviting the community into the Roundhouse, into the Rotunda, to give personal testimonies. We'll have legislators there. To give personal testimonies of why they would be rising for justice this year. And that's for an hour from 10:30 to 11:30. And then the flash mob happens from 12 to about 12:45, followed by a march to the Farmers Market Pavilion, where we're going to live stream events from around the world and have live musicians and poets and belly dancers. We're also across the road at Warehouse 21 have story circles and meditations, yoga, just art, art exhibit by women artists.
I think it's so fitting that it's all on Valentine's Day, and so that the fight for justice happens in a context of love.
That is exactly what we've been talking about this year, how love is really the ultimate healer, when we can all really just love one another and learn how to love one another through our differences, that is the ultimate healer. So, Valentine's Day is a hallmark holiday, really, filled with chocolate candy.
Now, Lynn, you are working with the Anti-Human Trafficking Initiative at Lifelink, and you're doing a symposium. Is it this Friday, this weekend?
Friday.
And I think it's full, or can people still sign up?
There might be still some seats available, but it's getting filled up pretty rapidly. And that's going to be at La Fonda Hotel.
Excellent. So what is happening? What's it all about?
So we've invited Attorney General Gary King to come and talk about the Attorney General's approach to human trafficking. Maria Sanchez Gagne is also going to talk about the challenges and the successes around prosecution of trafficking. We also have Albuquerque Mayor Richard Berry coming, because Albuquerque is one of the top destination cities for sex trafficking in the United States.
No way.
Yes, it is. And we initially thought that it would just be a corridor, that New Mexico is a corridor state. And over the last 6 years, the information that's come out is that it's actually a destination city for Albuquerque, especially for trafficking. So
people come... Men come to Albuquerque to have sex with trafficked young women?
Trafficked young women, older women, men, other men, children. Yes, it's not anything that's specific to any, you know, certain age group or gender. It just crosses over all of those distinctions.
Where did these women come from? Are they from the U.S.? Are they coming in from other places, both?
All of the women except for one that I've actually worked with are from the United States.
And what's a typical story, or what are some of the stories of how they get trafficked? I mean, it's a kind of, if I understand correctly, involuntary labor.
Right. The definition of trafficking, it's somebody who's they use force, fraud, or coercion to get somebody to participate unwillingly in commercial sex. So the people who tend to be exploited or the most vulnerable are like runaways, the homeless, people suffering from mental illness, people without primary support groups, without community connection, the most vulnerable people. I mean, occasionally, I mean, I'm sure there's circumstances where somebody is just taken out of a really good home and abducted, like you see maybe in the movies, but I haven't seen that to be the case. Most of the victims that we have are coming with trauma in their background or sexual abuse. They're easily preyed upon, and then they fall under somebody else's control.
It's, I think, very important to point out how the lack of a proper safety net, the lack of mental health and regular health services, the lack of real schooling for everybody that works, all contribute to this problem of human trafficking.
Exactly. It's true.
So what are some of the ways that the Anti-Human Trafficking Initiative works?
Well, we provide long-term housing, first of all, because that's the cornerstone of healing. So that way they have safety. We don't put people in shelters and send them on their way with a list of referrals. So under the United Nations Protocol and the Trafficking Protection Act of 2000, Congress delineated all these minimum standards of working with victims of trafficking, and also outreaching them, prosecuting offenders, and law enforcement, and actually trying to find the offenders. So we've got a long ways to go. And so what we want to do is we're trying to raise the standard of care for victims of trafficking to help protect them from being re-victimized, to send a message to traffickers that these people do have people who care about them, that there is something on the other side, that they have a shot at a real life just like everybody else, and that their constitutional right to freedom is not impaired by poverty and mental illness or substance abuse or, you know, lack of community integration or community support.
Now, how do you find victims of trafficking?
Most of our victims are referred to us from Albuquerque Vice. They'll be at the symposium, too.
The victims are Albuquerque Vice?
Albuquerque Vice. They'll be there, and they'll talk about their approach to finding victims of human trafficking. We also have a 505 Get Free line, which is a textable line. I don't know if you've seen it on the buses. We just got a new bench on the corner of St. Michael's and Fifth Street. There's one on Second Street. There's a few throughout the city. Mayor Koss of Santa Fe passed a resolution declaring Santa Fe a free city back in March of 2013. And they also funded the 505 Get Free initiative so that we could do a marketing campaign to get the word out. So through that textable hotline, we do receive a lot of calls from potential victims of trafficking, and then we screen them to see if they really are and if we can help them. If not, we'll refer them to another agency.
And how do people who, well, I guess you call them Johns, like they come to Albuquerque, how do they then find these people, these trafficked people to have sex with?
Well, they find them through, first of all, we don't call them Johns because that suggests that there's some type of, that it's prostitution. Most people think that that's a matter of choice. Anybody who buys or sells a human being is a trafficker. So I'd like to make that distinction.
What do you call them?
Traffickers. A person who purchases somebody for money for the purpose of sex is essentially a trafficker. Under the law, they are.
And so how do they find...
So there's a network kind of set up. A trucker could come into to Albuquerque or some other city, and through Backpage and Craigslist and things like that, could probably order up a woman or a victim in less time than it takes to order a pizza. So there's an organization called Truckers Against Trafficking, and they're really good at trying to raise awareness around this and getting people to understand that it's not okay to buy women.
And I want to just also say, like, we must understand that it happens in Albuquerque, it happens all over the states. One thing that just happened right now is the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is one of the biggest sporting events where women are sex trafficked. For the public that's coming in to watch the event, there are sex trafficked women in the cities where the Super Bowl takes place. So we really have to understand the depth of what it means when people are human trafficked, in terms of it's not just some seedy, and I'm not saying it is seedy, but Backpage thing. There's a network of how women get trafficked at sporting events, at conferences, these massive conferences that happen around the country. And I do want to just add to something Lynn said as well, is I was in Mexico City last year for 1 Billion Rising, and one of a young girl who'd been sex trafficked and rescued off the streets. She came from a very good family in Mexico. She was wooed by a trafficker who pretended to be her boyfriend. He courted her. He met her parents. He went to her home.
Oh my goodness.
And then he invited her to come on a trip with him and then took her into sex slavery in Mexico City, where she was on the streets, forced to have sex all the time. For 3 years until she was rescued. So it's not about, it definitely is to understand that it's young women and men and older women who are on the fringes, but also it can happen, that it's very...
It can happen to anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah, and actually wooing somebody and gaining control over them is, I don't think we have a lot of statistics on it yet, but I think that's probably the primary way a lot of women get trafficked.
Very, very interesting and very important for young women to know. I mean, it's so sad because when you are an adolescent or a young woman, that's when you're so open and vulnerable to expressions of love and flirtation and all those kinds of things. And it's sad, but we have to teach young women defenses and learning to spot when somebody's lying to them and being really, really careful when somebody seems to have what looks like love for them.
Right. And then they wind up looking like street prostitutes. And that's why it's really important that, you know, the cities educate the law enforcement and responders and just people in general in the community so they can understand that if somebody's under someone else's control, you won't necessarily see them held at, you know, held physically by them. They look like they've got freedom of movement, but they don't.
And there's also a question of drugs. I mean, I've read about certainly trafficking in other countries that women often become addicts of one kind or another, and that's part of how they are kept in I can't call it prostitution, but trafficking.
Mm-hmm. I think that speaks to what Cecile was talking about, how women separate from their bodies, and drugs is a good way to do that. And someone who's being sold 10 times a day, 7 days a week, 4 weeks a month, 12 months a year, you know, I mean, it's a way to check out. And the recovery process is very long term, especially for someone who's been trafficked for a period of time. And then depending on the trauma that probably predisposed them to the trafficking in the first place, it's a long road of healing.
When you think about people who haven't had any, you know, just sort of middle class people, you know, your major traumas are the death of loved ones when they're old, or, you know, my dog died yesterday, we cried. When you think about the level of trauma and the amount of tears and grief and anger that is stored up inside a person who's been trafficked, it seems like it could be almost impossible to heal from that. I mean, I guess people have a tremendous resilience, but...
Right, I think the human spirit has a lot of resiliency. But I also want to say that of the trafficking victims that we do have, every single one of them has childhood sexual abuse in their past. I mean, I think that that sexual trauma is much more debilitating than people want to admit or talk about.
And it makes them kind of ready victims to traffickers when they're a little older.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing we're seeing. We had a great conversation in November with an amazing panel of women. Betty Fleischman from the Women's Justice Project here in New Mexico was talking about women in prison. And it's exactly the same thing we've seen at V-Day since we've been working. Well, Eve's been working with women in prison since the 1990s. But that most women who are incarcerated have been victims of violence in their home, childhood sexual abuse, adult sexual abuse. And so I think we really have to understand, for us and for 1 Billion Rising, for V-Day, for Lynn, what we're really all trying to show is the, we're band-aiding a lot. We're just putting band-aids. We have to really address the social issues that affect violence against women. We can't just put a band-aid on it.
It would be such a beautiful thing if all that money wasted in Afghanistan were instead put into programs in the United States that actually were about healing the social fabric.
Definitely agree.
We could go on a long rant about that.
And you can go on a long dance about it on
exactly
Friday, on Valentine's Day at noon at the Roundhouse.
I do want to say that trafficking includes all the elements of forcible rape, yet it carries a penalty that is of a lesser charge. So it's like writing a bad check. So somebody gets convicted of trafficking in the state of New Mexico, and they get 3 years maximum sentence. 3 years, unless it's a child. So I think that that's something that needs to be changed. We need to stiffen the penalties. That's going to help deter trafficking. And that's also going to make people take it a lot more seriously and get rid of the stigma around it, because it's involving sex, and it's often confused with prostitution, as if there really was a choice in prostitution. But and make people want to act on it and not just kind of feel like it's too big of a problem to handle, or that it's a matter of choice and these women chose this or somehow deserve it.
Lynn Sanchez is program director of the Anti-Human Trafficking Initiative at LifeLink. And the Southwest Symposium on Human Trafficking is this Friday. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they find you, Lynn?
They can call me directly at 505-913-9833. That's my work cell. Or they can call the LifeLink at 505-438-0010. And they can ask for Kathy Cagle.
Excellent. And 1 Billion Rising is ongoing, but the dance and flash mob and all the events happening starting at the Roundhouse at noon and then continuing through the day are all this Friday, Valentine's Day, and Cecile Lipworth is with 1 Billion Rising. She's with V-Day, and V-Day is on the web at vday.org. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte, for having us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.